This is the bit where I'm supposed to kind of give you some words of wisdom for the future and leave with you as Julie and I prepare to go up to Derbyshire. And I'm very, very conscious that this time 7 years ago I was preparing to leave Shropshire, told Shrewsbury Baptist Church what was going on, and we were getting ourselves sorted, and we were preparing to come here, to come to Rutland. And I'm so aware that at that time I was a very different man. I was a very different man. I had no inkling of how amazing this time with you was going to be. And I said I wasn't going to get emotional, and here I am. I had absolutely no inkling of how amazing this time with you was going to be. And I just want to thank you for inviting me to be your minister for the time that God has given us here. Thank you for inviting me to minister to you and with you. And thank you that you allowed God to use you to shape me. Because actually I'm now a product of having been among you whilst God's grace was at work. So you've changed me, and thank you for that. I've changed my spirituality and my faith. Both have been so enriched as a result of this this adventure that we've been on together, that we've shared together over almost 7 years. It's been a privilege to serve you and to serve with you. Thank you. I truly, truly believe that God is doing something in Rutland, and that God is doing something with his people in Rutland in the widest sense. And I believe that God is doing something here in this church also. That God has got something in store for you. And I actually believe that your choice is quite simple. It's quite simple. Will you continue with this sense of momentum and moving with God, moving on with God? Will you continue with more of that experience with him that we've touched on in these last few years, but which I strongly suspect there is much, much more to come? Will you continue with what God is doing, not just in here, in OBC, in these four walls, but out there, in the town, in the county, in your workplaces, in your families? Will you travel further with God? Or will you stay as you are and simply not reach any further? Not reach for those kingdom blessings that God would grow you into? Are you too content with what you have? I guess the big question is, do you want more? Do you want more?
Yes.
Yes. Hold on to that thought. God, I believe his will is to give more, to do more, if we want him to, if we allow him to. But we need that kind of open spirituality to walk with him, to recognize what he's doing, to be open to him, to receive from him, to be guided by him. And the verses that I want to give to you for this new year, for this significant year in your journey, these are your verses for 2020. These are your verses for the year. And it comes from the book of Romans, and chapter 12. And I think we might be able to get those up on the screen for you. And it's just two verses, verses 1 and 2 from Romans 12. And to start off with, I'm just going to read them from the NIV. And then we'll have a little look at what Paul is trying to say. It goes a bit like this. Verse 1, Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. These two verses touch on an awful lot of themes that are actually quite close to my heart that we've looked at over the years we've been together. It touches on things like how we sacrifice some stuff to receive other stuff, living sacrifices. It touches on things like holiness and being changed. Worship is not just about what we do in here on a Sunday morning. It's not just this, wonderful though this is. It's not just this, it's about all of life. It's about all of life. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Wherever we are, whoever we're with. Holiness. We either aspire to holiness or we don't. Do you want to be holy? Then you've got to draw close to God and accept his ways are the right ones. The alternative is just to switch off and do it our way and do it ourselves. Paul touches on the theme of transformation, allowing, being willing to let God change us, kind of accepting that we do need to change. Wherever we are, there is more change that is beneficial to us. If we allow God in, the result is change, transformation, being changed. And Paul touches on actively seeking, being in the place of God's will. We kind of say the words and think the thoughts, yeah, that's the right place to be. I want to be in the will of God. But then our practice can often be so different, can't it? Our humanity kind of pulls us in a different direction. God's will is, it's an interesting subject. It's a concept we talk about a lot in fairly simplistic terms, I'd suggest. We tend to talk about God's will as though it's easy to identify, as though it's easy to comprehend, as though it's easy to accept, and as though it's easy to submit to, the will of God. Get the app, click the icon, install, sorted. End of process. I don't think it quite works that way, does it? Don't you think this whole process of transformation and being changed, submitting to God, we submit a bit, he changes a bit, we submit a bit more, he changes a bit more, we submit a bit more, he changes a bit more. And so it goes on all our lives, this submission transformation thing, work in progress. Submission is not that easy. We forget who we are and the pull that our old nature kind of has on us to go back to doing those other things. And Christians, despite us bearing the Lord's name, nevertheless, on occasions, we've got to admit it, we can behave badly, can't we? Don't you think? We can behave badly and not be very Christ-like. Submission, this whole idea of being transformed, fully submitting our will to his will, fully submitting our will to his will, it can grate with us more than a bit. More than a bit. And we also forget who he is. We can get a little bit glib about our faith and our salvation. We forget who he is, who we're really dealing with. Jesus is my Savior. Hallelujah. I've got a ticket to heaven. That's the nice bit. Jesus is my Lord. And I bend the knee to him and acknowledge that his will has supremacy over mine. Two sides of the same coin. Two sides. This is who we're dealing with. And I'd suggest that God's will is a challenging, even threatening force to engage with, which might explain something of why we don't go as far, don't engage as fully with God as we might. Going deeper in our relationship with God, which he passionately wants us to do, can only have one outcome. Less of us, more of him. Less of us, more of him. Less of me, 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 me. Less of I want, I want, I want. Less of I plan to do this, I plan to do that. More of him, more of what he wills for us and through us, and how he wants to use us in his plans and purposes, our part in the huge canvas that he is painting on. But too often, we like to play the Game of Thrones, and we like to sit on that throne of our lives. There's a small matter of holiness for us all to consider, of us being sanctified, of us being changed from glory into glory as we sing. Change from glory into glory. Of us becoming incrementally more like Jesus. Of us taking up our cross. Of us dying to self. Of us dying with him and rising to our new life in him. Living for him and in him. Being transformed is the word that Paul uses, being changed, so that we can connect more with God and his ways. Less of the habitual old ways that are too often knocking at our door and are our default position, our starting points. Folks, God is holy. God is holy. Everything about God is awesomely holy, including his will. And he wants to do stuff in your life and in mine. What is God's will for OBC? What is God's will for OBC? And for you, the people who are OBC. And it's not to be trivialized, actually. It's important. Not in a heavy way, but in a blessing way, a drawing nearer to God way. We've been so blessed these last years together, and this sense that God is doing something in Rutland of which we're a part, it's been incredible, don't you think? It's been good, and it is just the start. It's the taster, it's the down payment, it's the deposit. There is more, and it's as though God is saying, look, I've shown you this, but will you believe for more? Will you travel with me for more? Are you going to be the people who will sign up for more? And that's the sense that I have of this. And of all the things that we might one day look back on in our lives, what a privilege to be able to say we were there when God did. We were there when God, do you remember when God did that and it was awesome and we were there. What a privilege to look back and have been a part of something like that. And I want to encourage all of you, every one of you, I want to encourage you to engage in prayer for the next chapter of the OBC story. I encourage you to pray as a church, all of you together. There is power in that. There is power in God's people coming together by faith, standing together and beseeching God. And if you won't stand together, then kneel together, even better. Come together in prayer. Pray as a church. Pray in groups together. Pray on your own. Pray. Get over this hurdle of isolationism and get together and pray and rub along in your faith. And you will find God saying things to some of you for others. And it will work from there. Step out and give it a go. Pray for your church leaders. I've worked with some amazing leaders over the 7 years that I've been here. All of those deacons and secretaries and treasurers, every one of them that's worked with me. They are amazing people. A couple of them are not here, actually. But they're amazing people. Pray for your leaders and your current leadership who take you into this next phase. Support them. They need it. They need you. They need your prayers. And remember this word that God gave us about 6 years ago now from Isaiah 60. Read Isaiah 60, that chapter, regularly, about God's bringing people to Rutland. God bringing people to the small place. We've seen it happen. We've seen the evidence of that. We've seen the truth of that word over these last years. We've seen the blessing and we've seen the promise. And I'm convinced it's just a taster of what's to come. And this church, this town, this county, this community needs good, strong, solid churches, people of God. As this community grows, it needs you. It needs you. It needs Jesus. Paul writes, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let God help you think properly, clearly. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing and perfect will. Three quick points. Wouldn't be a Baptist sermon without 3 points, would it? So I'll try and do it by the book. Here we go. 3 points. Firstly, God's will is not good, perfect, and acceptable to an unsacrificial life. I'll say that again. God's will is not good, perfect, and acceptable to an unsacrificial life. A life which stays kind of self-protectively in control of its own destiny and prizes its own way, its autonomy, and defines freedom on its own terms rather than discovering the freedom of being in Christ. Relationship with God, folks, relationship with God is not a negotiation. It is a submission. You don't go to God and say, if I do this, will you do that? It's not like buying a car. It's submission. We are living sacrifices. We've given ourselves to Jesus every moment, every day, at home, at work, at play. We are not Christians because of our good works. We don't earn our way. But as Christians, God may call us to do good works out of our faith. The emphasis is different. Second point. God's will is not acceptable to the unrenewed mind. A mind that kind of remains fatally fixed on itself, on the me, on the I think, on the I want, rather than on the leading of the Holy Spirit. A mind that kind of refuses to submit to God's way of seeing and doing things. The unrenewed mind, the mind that wants to think and continue to think in the old way rather than allowing God to help it think differently. The unrenewed mind can even be hostile when God's Spirit challenges very fixed ways and values. Some people struggle with some of the stuff in the Bible, in the New Testament, because they simply think that God is asking too much. It doesn't compute. If I do that for God, that means I can't do this, that, and the other. I want to do for whatever reason. And thirdly, God's will is not acceptable to the unsanctified life. The life that remains wedded to the culture and the values that surround us. When that culture and those values take priority over God's place in our lives. A life that follows every fashion and uncritically soaks up, just dives in and absorbs the spirit of the age without any thought whatsoever of how do I bring God into this? Where is God in this? The unsanctified life, the one that doesn't want God's holiness in it, the unsanctified life is not a holy life. It's actually a willfully polluted life. And that's not what we want. That's not who we are. But, there is a but. But, to those who are willing to change their thinking in line with God's truth, to think biblically, to pray in the Spirit, to determinedly pursue that balance of word and spirit, to those who are learning in Christ the courage to be different in a radical discipleship, countercultural, because true disciples follow Jesus closely. That is their primary motivation. To them, God's will is increasingly experienced as the highest good, as the complete kind of plan, recipe, formula for human fulfillment. And it shares in God's delight. These people, these disciples, these followers, these people who embrace transformation and want more of it, and more of it, and more of it. These people are practitioners of thy kingdom come. They don't just pray the words. They practice it. They live it out. They bring it in. They want to open the door and let it in. They're practitioners of thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. Here, and it starts in my life, as it is in heaven. They have fixed their eyes on Jesus and will not be distracted. You're all being very quiet. Am I making big demands of you? Eugene Peterson's translation of these verses in the Message version of the Bible is fascinating. Romans 12 from the Message. Here's what Paul is saying. He says, so, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture, to your world, that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, and then you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. The world is immature because it doesn't understand the spirituality that God would have for it. Yeah? That's why the world is as the world is. It's because it's rejected God in that sense and hasn't allowed Him in enough. Maturity comes from embracing God and His wisdom. Don't let the world drag you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. OBC, these are the verses I want to give you for 2020, especially that Message translation. I want you to place your life before God as an offering. I want you to embrace God's way. I want you to invite Him to transform you. What a way to begin a new year. And what a way to begin the search for your new minister and to discern from God what your next steps as a church are going to be. Conversion, transformation, a changed view of self and of God, turning from patterns of life that are bad for us and others, turning to patterns capturing God's heart and desire for our lives, and not just for us, for our world, for our town, for our county, for our community, for our country. Agents, that's who you are. You are agents of God's grace. Agents of God's grace being recreated in our thinking and our character by the life of Jesus, released by His death and resurrection and empowered by the gift of His Holy Spirit. That is who you are. That is who you are. These verses are yours. These verses are for you in 2020. Embrace them as you together seek God's will for the next chapter of your story. Wait on God. Wait on God. And then wait on God some more. And then some more. And then embrace what He has in store for you. Here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out in you and develops well-formed maturity in you. Amen. Amen.